Yeah, I'm Leon, I'm an addict. Thanks for asking me, Dean. And I was just thinking, as soon as I, you know, like sort of say tested 1, 2, 3, I'm just going to want to go. Because I can remember that as a kid, you know. And it's just nice to be in this meeting, to see a lot of faces I know here, and to be asked to do the chair. Because as I said, I've come here for many years. Well, I haven't mentioned I've come to this meeting for many years. I haven't always stayed clean, but I've always, you know, thought about doing the chair and thinking I could never do it, do you know what I mean? But I'm just over 6 months today, so, you know, I just feel like maybe it's a right time for me to do it. And I've done service here before, and it's always helped me. So, yeah, I'll just start from the beginning. I grew up in West London, Shepherd's Bush. I grew up with my mum, and my dad sort of left quite early, but I was sort of, she had a couple of boyfriends, and I was exposed to violence and drugs and sex from a young age. And, you know, basically I remember my mum inviting a man into the house once, and he had this like Bonds sort of big plastic bottle. And I just remember that from the sweets, you know. And I remember this guy sort of coming in with like a flame torch, and I just remember sort of not knowing what was really going on. But so I told her boyfriend what had happened, and told him what I'd seen. And obviously now I know that she was smoking freebase crack. And I was only, as I say, about 5 or something like that. And anyway, I just wanted to sort of escape. And I used to stay with a family friend, and I was able to manipulate this person. So I feel like I grew up with no boundaries. And, you know, I started drinking alcohol about 8. Nothing serious, just like Woodpecker and stuff like that. But I was easily exposed to what I wanted. And, yeah, as I said, I just remember sort of not really having anyone around, really. My mum was going through domestic violence, and she had to sort of move home. So we moved from Shepherd's Bush to sort of Harrow Road. And I remember sort of in primary school getting the tube to Shepherd's Bush from Westbourne Park, and I just remember falling asleep on the tube and ending up at Hammersmith. And I just thought, at this point, I just felt really alone, sort of like that, you know, I could do what I wanted, which was a good thing as well, you know, but it was also quite sad. And eventually I moved on, and I found a group of sort of kids my age who were like from broken homes as well, you know, who lived with their nan. And it was a particular house I remember in Shepherd's Bush, which I like going to. And, you know, there was like a group of drunks downstairs, and, you know, this nan sort of seemed to live in the middle of it with bricks under her bed, and people were just running back there with stolen goods. And, you know, he had older brothers that were into sort of more serious crime. And I just remember mopeds outside at a young age, and I just loved it. I loved, you know, what I saw. And I just left school, you know, for a life of criminality, really, and just started off small, you know, nicking stereos and phones and stuff like that. And, you know, smoking weed. Alcohol wasn't really an issue at this time, you know, but I just remember if we made some money, we'd be happy to get sort of like a Chinese, some ash or something like that, and a few drinks. And, you know, it seemed to be fun at the time. But eventually, through selling these stolen goods, we were introduced to rocks. And I didn't really know what it was at the time, but I just remember we used to build spliffs out of it, and we'd get like, I don't know, 4 spliffs out of a £20 stone. And eventually I remember my friends asking me for more money, you know, to get more. And I just didn't see what the attraction was at first, you know. I just didn't think it was that great, but, you know, I soon found out about it. And I remember people sort of looking through their window on like a fourth floor and thinking, why the hell are you looking out the window? Like, what's there? Do you know what I mean? Like, what can be wrong? And then, you know, I found myself doing it, you know, and I found myself spending all my money. And then eventually I was, you know, because I was quite a loner, I felt like I basically, you know, used this drug on my own. I started using it. And I just remember one thought that I thought, if I could just have this stuff and go to the moon, would I need anyone else around, you know, because it was that good. And eventually I started getting arrested. I remember going to prison at 15. I basically had a lot of court cases at the time. And I was given 3 months. I didn't think it would ever happen, but they adjourned my cases from when I was 14 to I was 15 so I could go to prison, because I was getting arrested about 3 times a week just for stupid stuff, really. But yeah, so I remember going to prison at 15, and I remember the 6 weeks holiday because I was given 3 months, and it seemed like that would be forever, spending 6 weeks, because you do half in prison. And, you know, within about 3 days, I was in the block. You know, I didn't seem to mind, you know what I mean? I'd made friends by the time I left, and, you know, I was quite sad to actually leave some of them behind. And, you know, from sort of into my teens, I just was in and out of prison. You know, I didn't go to clubs and stuff like that. I'd go to shops, I'd buy nice clothes. You know, I'd buy, you know, Gucci and things like that. And I'd just end up going in a house and smoking crack in them, you know, and stepping over dog shit, you know, because my friend, he had about 10 cats and dogs. So we'd just end up smoking there, you know, and it was just, you know, it's a sad existence, really. And I basically went, I had children at quite a young age. I remember I was 16, I got my girlfriend pregnant, and it happened almost straight away, and I thought that a family would helped me change my life around, you know. But I basically started smoking more as she got pregnant. Since she was like 6 months, I was completely hooked on crack, smoking more than I've ever smoked before, up for days, you know, thinking, should we be smoking this amount, you know. And yeah, it was just, I remember sort of getting, going to court and saying to the judge, you know, look, I've got a family, I'm gonna stop. And, you know, none of it helped, really. I was back smoking weed and then crack again. And it just went on and on, basically. And I lost my daughter through my drug abuse and violence, if I'm honest. You know, I didn't know I was getting mood swings at the time. And me and my sort of partner then were young, 17. And, you know, we just were codependent. And anyway, so I've tried rehab quite a few times, but I never accepted alcohol as a drug. And as soon as someone came in the rehab with, you know, wanting to drink, you know, I'd be straight on it, you know. And I basically got kicked out of every rehab I'd done. You know, I'd go on visits with my missus, and I'd buy her a drink, and then I'd think, because you're having a drink, I'll have a drink. Do you know what I mean? I'd set myself up before I even knew it. And anyway, so sort of into my 20s, I went to Brixton Prison, and basically they used to have a lot of meetings there, and I didn't really know about them until I got on this drug-free wing, but I just had enough. And I remember sort of going in there, and I always thought, you know, if I wasn't, if I didn't sleep in a crack house, then I probably wasn't a crackhead, you know. It's like I had an ambition to go to a crack house, to stay there, you know. And then I actually sort of did, but I could hardly get in because you always had to have drugs to get in, do you know what I mean? I'd probably smoke them before I got there. So basically, I just ended up in prison, and I remember being given some bedding and just making my bed there and just thinking, you know what, I'm just so glad to be making a bed. You know, so it wasn't what I was aiming for, was not what I really wanted. And I got on a drug-free wing, and they had NA meetings there literally about 4 weeks. So I started attending NA meetings in prison, and I could, you know, see all the madness going around me. But basically there was some people in there, like inmates, that wanted to get clean. So we sort of had a fellowship within the prison, and we'd have coffees in each other's cells. And that was the first time I got an idea of the fellowship, you know, of what it's about. And anyway, sort of, I got to an open prison, and I ended up being 2 years clean. And I was working for a drug service as a volunteer in this open prison, and I ended up picking up a drink on a home leave, and ended up back on crack. And you know, it was just the same as it always was. You know, I wasn't answering the phone. My partner was ringing me thinking, where are you? Do you know what I mean? I went back to the prison, and I was on the treadmill every day trying to sweat this crack out. And I remember them giving me a test, and it came up positive for cocaine. But I really believed that I was clean, so I convinced the screw that, you know, I hadn't been using. I said I don't even smoke, because I'd given up cigarettes in prison and everything. But I just out of the blue, I'd had this relapse. So they'd done another test, and it came back negative. And I got away with it, but I wish I didn't, because, you know, that just led to me using again and absconding from the prison, and, you know, being nicked in Harrow Road, you know, by a riot van, you know, and they were just saying, you know, basically, we believe you're someone who's absconded from prison, and I just had a pipe and I couldn't speak. I was just thinking, what the fuck's going on? You know, I'm in prison and I'm getting arrested and I'm using, and just that's the chaos that shows me about step one, really. You know, of sort of trying to sort my life out even in prison. But yeah, I'm going a bit blank now. But yeah, just 5 minutes, yeah. So yeah, I'll just bring you up to a bit. I've had a lot of relapses like that recently. Kind of, I was working 2 years ago. I was coming to this meeting and basically I was like, you know, doing service here, and I was in a relationship with someone in the rooms, and I ended up relapsing, and I kind of lost everything, do you know what I mean? And I ended up coming to this meeting shortly after this relapse, and sort of people were saying, I was with Dean actually, in Nando's or somewhere like that, and it was just on me. And they were saying, you know, just have a break from this relationship, do you know what I mean? But I was so sort of codependent on her and the drugs. And I just ended up asking someone for money that night, actually, just to put some more money so I could use. And it was just, yeah, it's a sad, sad existence, really. And yeah, so basically, I've kind of done another prison sentence and come out last year after having almost 4 years in recovery. And yeah, it was just, it was a shock to me because I got a job with young offenders in gangs and stuff like that, and managed to turn my life around. But again, you know, through not having that sort of that powerlessness, you know, I lost everything again. I came out earlier, sort of late last year, and was still using, came to this meeting to try and do fellowship. But really, you know, my head, it just shows you, once you pick up, your head's, it's really hard to get back sometimes. And I came here to connect, and I just wanted to save the money to use. I didn't even want to go for fellowship. I think I went for fellowship with Dean, but still used anyway. And I've basically got in rehab. There's a lot of my sort of peers from rehab here, and we come to this meeting every week, do you know what I mean, to sort of connect and see each other. It's been great sort of doing rehab. It's the first rehab I completed, so I would say rehab's good, although you can do it through the rooms. And I'm now in another relationship with someone in the rooms. And, you know, but the thing is, I don't know if I've learnt, but I've just sort of really sort of got support from, you know, my peers and stuff like that. And I've been honest, and since I was in rehab, she's just been using constantly, you know. But there's sort of other people around that I can sort of identify with and share, you know, because, you know, it's not been easy just to break away, you know. And I'm still in that relationship today, but she's actually probably over a week clean. She done a chair today, surprisingly enough. I don't know. She's in another fellowship, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just keeping it in a day, really, do you know what I mean? And I hope to get a service commitment here. I've got a sponsor. I'm doing the steps. And, yeah, I don't really know much more what to say, really. But, you know, it's not been easy, but, you know, I'm staying clean, and it's good to see a lot of people here tonight. Thanks. Thank you.